Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, look, we won this battle, and right now I'm on the road to a confidential location. I will be back on the air very soon, but today is a day to celebrate our triumph over evil. Make no mistake about it, the little men of San Francisco are not alone. They can be found in every city, every state, and every federal bureaucracy. Only by standing up to them and exposing them, as I have, will they damn themselves with their own words and actions. And what I've done for you today is put together the highlights of what happened yesterday and over the last few days. Make no mistake about it, this was a seminal moment in American political history. It has been picked up by some of the most intelligent bloggers and columnists, but as you would expect, ignored by every major American newspaper and television program, including Fox News. You decide which side they're on. You decide whether they report, and you decide, or whether they've already decided for you, what you should know and what you should not know. The fact of the matter is, America is being fought over right now. Its heart and soul are being carved up. What I have done this week is expose the forces behind the illegal alien amnesty movement. They are hardcore communists, socialists, and anti-Americans. These are the people who want to merge the United States with Mexico, Central America, and Canada. These are the people who envision a new world order where there is no nationhood, there is no national identity, there is no national language, there is no Bill of Rights except a universal Bill of Rights for mankind, which, as you well know, even the ex-Soviet Union had. The ex-Soviet Union had a constitution, but it had no meaning whatsoever. We have a constitution. Does it still have a meaning? Why did my federal government not send out deportation vans to arrest the illegal aliens who were trying to have a righteous American patriot fired for expressing what 90% of legitimate American voters know to be true, namely that illegal aliens are criminals and should be deported, that their communist supporters need to be arrested under sedition acts, that America right now is in trouble, that America's future hangs like a loose tooth? You can be the dentist. You can pull it or you can heal it. I'll let you decide. I want you to listen today and learn. Learn not only from what I did, but what from others have said and done to help you understand what is at stake. Some of the biggest fools have said this was all about ratings. All about ratings? Let them walk in my moccasins for one night. Let them understand what it's like to stand up and be counted in a time when the entire apparatus of government and the media has turned on you. Let them think it's all about ratings. That's all the little men are good for. Today, the left-wing bloggers are no more than the critics of yesteryear. The critics who pan movies that the people loved. All the movies that you loved were, of course, panned by the critics as being too macho, too patriotic, too vitriolic, too this and too that. But the audiences loved those movies, didn't they? It was the little men, the critics, who said the movies were not good enough for them. Well, that's what the Savage Nation is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, listen and learn. I'll be back very shortly from a new location. This is Michael Savage, and God bless America.
Savage.
They're singing an anti-savage blues song. Let me hear it.
Don't denigrate the soul. Savage has to go.
Oh, my God.
Savage has to go.
Oh, my God. Where'd they get this homeless bum? He can't even keep a tune. Wow.
Savage has to go. We say no, no more. Savage has to go. Savage has to go. Fire out the man who loves to dip doves to denigrate the soul. Savage has to go. Savage has to go. Hear it! Savage has to go! Savage has to go! Savage has to go! Savage has to go! Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, ho. Savage has to go! Oh, ho, 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 ho. Savage has to go! Oh, ho, ho. No more hate language! Savage has to go! Don't denigrate the soul! Savage has to go!
Oh. Holy God, they've got every ruffian that they can find from the gutter from San Jose, and they trained them up. Oh, that was good. That's good. He'll be on Letterman tonight.
Thank you, Francisco.
That was, by the way, those of you who want to find the DVD, that was by Francisco. It's called Savage Has to Go. See if you can find it in the local Tower record store. See if you can find Francisco in the Tower, on the F, in the Tower record store. Who's next? I want to hear more of this. This is live feed outside my studio. Why don't you speak English? Hey. Hey, senorita, speak English so we can understand you across America.
We're not asking that Clear Savage on a nationwide level. What we are saying, lo que estamos diciendo, es que nosotros somos la comunidad de aquí, de San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something about your comunidad. You're not in Tijuana, sister. Go back to Tijuana if you want your community, sister, because I'm not in Tijuana. You're in my country, sweetheart. I'm not in yours. I'm going to a break before I say something I really mean.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. That was written by Rudyard Kipling well over 100 years ago, and I've quoted the poem If on the Savage Nation for over 15 years. It has real meaning for me today because I am going to try to keep my head even though all those around me in this city of freaks and perverts and drug addicts and illegal aliens have already lost their heads and they're trying to blame it on me. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What part of the statement that I allegedly made has a racial component in it? What part of it has a racial component in it? The answer is none. There's no reference to Latinos. There's no reference to Hispanics. There's no reference to race whatsoever. Yet these far left extremists like Sandoval, the hateful clown, the sissy Amiano, are putting the word race all over the thing because they're trying to use the poor Latinos for their own communistic ends. And I really condemn them for abusing the Hispanic Latino community for their own communist ends. Most of these hardworking people don't even understand they're being manipulated and used by these white communists in this country in order to push the communist agenda. But I'll get to that later on. This is a classic case of Animal Farm race baiting by Sandoval, Amiano, and the other scoundrels. The fact is there was no racial element in what I said. Now, I have no idea why he would imply that I was talking about Latinos when I said, if they want to fast, then let them fast until they starve to death. Let me ask you something. Have you never heard of sarcasm or satire? When you raise children, they often pull hissy fits like this. Daddy, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to eat my breakfast. I'm not going to eat anymore till I'm not going to eat till I starve, say the children. See, what you do to a child like that is pulling a fit is you don't hit the child. You say to the child, oh, you don't want to eat. I'll tell you what, don't eat until you starve to death. Then you'll see what you get. And you walk away from the child, and usually they'll start eating within the next meal. So that's what I said. Now, if these idiots don't understand sarcasm and satire, that's their loss, not mine. I can't help them if they're illiterate drug addicts, because that's what they apparently are, racist, illiterate drug addicts, trying to use the poor Hispanic people in this community for their own ends, which is communism, socialism. That's what they want. They want to take what is not theirs and give it to themselves and also aggrandize power upon themselves. That's number two. Now, as I speak, they have mobilized, I don't know, tens of dozens of groups all the way from L.A., and they bust them up. Where they got the money from can be traced all the way probably back to Brussels or to Zurich or to the DNC itself. But virtually every pressure group known to America will be outside the radio station today demanding that I be fired. And what's comical about this is that they're trying to compare what I said to what Imus said. Well, let me bring them up to speed. First of all, Imus just won allegedly $20 to $40 million because CBS had the stupidity to listen to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. So let me tell you right now that Imus didn't lose as a result of these megaphone maniacs. Number two, and this is the most important point, is that what Imus said could be connoted as racist. But you will never find racism in what I say because I am not a racist and I have no such feelings about Hispanics nor about black people. I believe that these white liberal communists and perverts are the real racists here because they're yelling race in a crowded nation. The next point is, what part of illegal alien don't you get? Tell me which part of that statement is not correct. Illegal alien, it's a phrase that has meaning under U.S. law. They are illegal and they're aliens. Otherwise, everybody would be a citizen and there'd be no United States of America. Now, if you don't want the United States of America to exist, well, then I can't help you. But you see, I love America. I'm the son of an immigrant. As a matter of fact, my grandmother did not speak a word of English to me as a child. She never learned the language. She came here when she was very old. So I come from an immigrant family. I'm very sensitive to the humanity of immigrants, the struggle of immigrants. And I rose from the gutters of America to the position I have. And no communist perv. Let me tell you that right now. Moreover, if you want to try to use the power of the city of San Francisco to steal my job by lying about me, I will sue you personally and for everything you're worth. And I'll say something else. It's come to my attention from listeners who know what's going on that this rotten, stinking supervisor, Sandoval, has attacked Jews before by trying to incite mob violence to go to Tiburon and to go to bar mitzvahs. He's a racist all the way through and through. Moreover, he's a loser. He has his own radio show. Did you know that? That nobody listens to? It's number three is jealousy. He wants my job because he can't earn it. He's trying to steal it in the great communist tradition. I'm going to fight this man in the court of public opinion on this show, and I'm going to fight him in the courts of law, and you're going to find out that I'm going to win bigger than Imus. It's not going to be a monetary victory, necessarily. It's going to be a victory for the First Amendment. What part of illegal alien don't you get? They are criminals. They stole a free college education, and now they're screaming, give me a free green card? No, you're not getting a free green card. If we had a legitimate federal government, you'd be arrested today and deported out of my country. That's the important thing. Now, I love America, and I want America to exist. If you don't want America to exist, then you've got to fight all of the other Americans who agree with me. The fact of the matter is La Raza Centro Legal is the place that Mr. Sandoval sat on, the board of directors. La Raza, as you may know, means the race. Now, if you would be a member of a group that calls itself the race, you would be shocked to believe that anybody would join a group called La Raza. It means the race, not a race, not an immigrant, but the race. By definition, it means that is the only race and there is no other race. Then I would say, my friends, that they have a long way to go to convince me that they are not a racist Hispanic supremacist group, because that's what it looks like to me. Hispanic supremacists trying to take over the United States of America, one talk show host at a time, not through the court of public opinion, not through any talent, but through race baiting and lies. Now, a great article was written today by Selwyn Duke. It's up on michaelsavage.com under the right second article, Race Baiting Politician Attacks Michael Savage. I am going to read that to you in a moment, and I'm going to actually read it to you right now, but I would invite you to go to my website to see the videos of the so-called protest spewing venom on the steps of City Hall of the ugliest city in the United States of America. And I mean that psychologically, this is the ugliest city on earth. It is also the biggest laughing stock in the Western world. It is the biggest laughing stock in the West because the illiberal gang of far-left politicians has stolen the city from the once-proud San Franciscans. And if you want to hear the irony here, here is the irony here. They did not pass that resolution condemning me yesterday because of one man. One man who I never met. He's a Chinese-American named Ed Ju. Ed Ju did not go along with these communist, race-baiting swine. And for that, they will never forgive him. I don't know Mr. Ju, but here's what he said. He said, I don't know what Mr. Savage said, but if his alleged comments are what you say they are, I don't agree with them. But he has every right to say them under the First Amendment. Well, the vermin who hates me went crazy in the halls of the city of San Francisco last night using the most, I think, Soviet-era rhetoric I've never heard Soviet-era rhetoric like this. When Sandoval said to Mr. Ed Ju, a Chinese, the follow. Do you have that soundbite where he uses some Soviet-style words on him? Play it now. Play it
Supervisor
now.
Supervisor Ju, through the president, if you have First Amendment reservations, I encourage you to ask the city attorney. And I know in my heart that if this comment, if this commentary was directed at the Chinese-American community or the Asian community, you would not be resorting to this empty and rigid formalism on your part. And
hold it.
I ask,
hold it. Empty and rigid formalism on your part. Is there an intellectual scholar out there who can tell me where that rhetoric comes from? He says to a Chinese-American supervisor who won't go along with his Soviet-style Hitler-like tactics, empty and rigid formalism. To me, it smacks of the ex-Soviet Union. But it also smacks of racism against Chinese. He is using a stereotype about Chinese by saying empty and rigid formalism. At least that's how I think he's using it. That's how others have seen this. This man is a racist through and through. And we're going to show you at the end of today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, at the end of the day, that I am keeping my head, although many around me are losing theirs and trying to blame it on me. And at the end of the day, I will be a man, my son.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Let's go to the callers. Marisol doesn't like you and doesn't like me. She's calling from KNEW in San Francisco. Marisol, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I've never listened to you before, but I saw it on KTV.
That's okay. I know, but you heard about me and you're listening today. Okay, we all heard it before. You never heard of me. I've been on 15 years. I'm the biggest show in town, but you never heard of me because you're too intellectual, right?
No, I've heard of you, of course. I just need to care. Anyway.
Oh, well, thank you that you heard of me. Have you read any of my best-selling books or you don't read books?
Are you going to let me talk?
I don't know. I may or may not. I'm not obligated to let you do anything. But go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Can I ask or no?
I don't know. Go ahead. Make your statement.
Thank you. I've been Googling you on Craigslist, and I've been looking you up on Craigslist. I've been looking at all of your postings on you, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, you'll stop right there. You're not going to put out pre-digested hate speech on my show. It is all lies what you're reading. What is it that you call this show to talk about, Marisol?
Asking you, why do you feel that the majority of your supporters are part of some type of white hatred group or some type of white supremacist?
Wait a minute, where are you coming from? Excuse me, what part of the statement that I made had racism in it, Marisol? Do you know? I'm giving you the opportunity to show you're not a complete bigot. What part of the statement that I made has any racial element in it?
Why do you feel that those are the...
No, you answer me. You answer me. You're not at San Francisco State with a microphone. I am. You're going to answer me. You're making an accusation against me, and I'm going to defend myself. Show me where I made a statement that has any race in it. What's the matter, Marisol? Your little dictator behind you doesn't have an answer? The ACLU lawyer doesn't have a flashcard for you to say anything? They got the little girl to speak to try to sound soft? You are the racist communist, not me.
No, I'm asking asking you why you feel that most of your supporters are part of some type of hatred group. That's all that I'm asking.
But you're making a stupid statement. How do you know what my audience of 10 million is composed of? Do you know what the demographics are of my audience, Marisol?
What I've come up with. What can I
say? What you've come up with is rubbish. You know nothing. You're an ignoramus.
I said...
Okay. I have a very diverse audience, Marisol, and that's what this is all about. There's great jealousy out there from people like you who don't have real jobs, who want my job, but you don't have the talent. I have a very diverse audience. You'd be surprised how many Asian Americans, African Americans, even Latinos love my show, Marisol. Are you aware of that? Or is that something you haven't read in these little hateful columns you've gone on, looking for your sex ads and in between trying to find something to pin me with? Go back to those cyberspace cesspools and leave me alone. And don't ever listen to my show again. You depress me.
Savage.
Más, más, más. La Nación de Savage. Solamente aquí.
Now, I've been using that for years because I play Latin music on the show from time to time. I guess somebody could say that that's an insult to somebody. If they're a demented fool, they can say anything they wish. That doesn't mean that I have to listen to them. If a madman comes up to me babbling, it doesn't mean I have to take them seriously, even if they wear a business suit and they call themselves a supervisor. Who else would take a job like that but somebody who can't do anything else? Now, we're going to go a little forward here on the Savage Nation. The debate around me is raging on all over the Bay Area. There's a great KTVU Channel 2 piece from this morning. It's pretty good. It was done well. I don't like getting up that early, but I did it for the show. And there's a lot of other good things. And we're going to have, by the way, the supervisor, Mr. Jew, on this program in a few minutes. I never met the man, but at least he understands the First Amendment. I got to commend him. It seems that none of the other geniuses in the San Francisco government understand the First Amendment. Or they're such doctrinaire left-wing radicals that they all go along in a party-like vote, which is, of course, what they did, which is why most people hate them and sneer at them and spit at them. Now, I want to go back to the racism and the Soviet-era dialectic used by Sandoval when he condemned Mr. Ed Jew with this strange statement that you would not be using such rigid formalism. I've never heard this, but every instinct in my educated brain tells me it comes from the Soviet Union. Gene is from Chicago. He calls the Savage Nation. Gene, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, hi. Although I don't always agree with you, I would very much see, feel sorry if you would have to succumb to this pressure. And the rhetoric that they're using, this word, the minute you said, I wanted to call because I'm originally from Russia and my family is from Russia. And this is smacks of Stalin-era persecutions of intellectuals in 1940s.
Hold on. So when this Gerardo Sandoval says to a Chinese-American that you would not resort to this empty and rigid formalism, that you say is very much like Stalinism. It comes out of the Stalinist rhetoric.
It was a Stalin's henchman by the name of Zhdanov, who was in charge of all culture and supervised, so to speak, and persecuted Prokofiev and Shostakovich and all the great composers and great intellectuals and writers and Pasternak and so forth in Russia. And that's what he said. He said that their music is formalistic, which is like...
Oh, my God! So Sandoval is using straight-out communist rhetoric against people who oppose him. So it's everything I've said and worse, Gene. These are Soviet-era little apparatchiks who are going crazy because somebody dares stand up to them.
Shocking how it could happen, even.
Well, I know how it could happen. Just as the Russians went after Shostakovich and Pasternak, these little men are trying to go after Michael Savage. The Lilliputians think they're going to get me. I got another guest coming for them. When this train comes out of the tunnel, the handcuffs will be around their hands and they'll be locked to a post, not me. Thank you, Gene. I knew it. I knew it. So the very same language that this little man Sandoval, this little loser, this little jealous loser who's fomenting poor, innocent, hardworking Hispanic people is doing it using communist tactics. Exactly what I said. Now, from a man like him, I could expect it. But would you expect it from a man named Aaron Peskin, an American citizen in San Francisco to go along with this rigid Soviet formalism. It's amazing to me, ladies and gentlemen, how sad and pathetic the stupid visors are in the city of San Francisco. So I'll let you talk right now. If you want to say something, you can, right at the Savage Nation. But please go on to michaelsavage.com. The best articles and videos of the entire event today. You say, well, oh, you're a self-centered guy. Hey, there's no bigger story in the media right now. There's no bigger story in the American media right now. I am the point man for free speech in America. Not Rush Golfbag, not Sean Wallbanger. Michael Savage is the number one target of the illegitimi in this country. And I have an answer for them. Illegitimi non carborundum. Baby, you're not going to grind me down. You'll grind yourself down with your own hatred. And I got some good news for my supporters out there. The more these windbag leftist phonies continue to scream racism in a crowded nation, the more we know that they are the actual racists. One day, this beautiful city that I live in will be retaken by the hardworking heterosexual people who built it, not by these left-wing, anti-family, anti-Catholic, anti-Jewish, anti-military, anti-police vermin. This gang of leftist vermin who have stolen the city from the beautiful people of this city. They're not all like this. Make no mistake about it. They hate these supervisors. They're hated by everybody in this city except a very small band of demented fools who think that they run this town. But let me tell you something. Every dog has his day, and I haven't had mine yet.
Savage.
Norfolk, Virginia. Ingrid, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. 2 points. Number one, Ecclesiastes 3:7-8, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Dr. Savage, you are at the time to be to speak. You are the conscience of this nation. And, of course, because you, this is the most troubled time in our nation, our nation has been almost in, if you go back in history, and you are, you love history, sir, and we are almost in Hellenistic time. Pursue, pursue happiness. Never, never, sir, in the Torah was there anything to pursue a happiness. Actually, if you go into the book of Deuteronomy, it says, tzedek, tzedek, pursue righteousness. And somewhere, the age of permissiveness that started in the 1960s is following us, and we have a Congress, just like you say, sir, full of potheads, that all they're doing is pursuing and bringing this nation down.
How could Congress take the side of non-citizen criminal aliens against the American people? How could the President of the United States take the side of illegal alien criminals against the voter of the American people? The American people. How is it possible that we wound up with complete frauds running everything?
Sir, because the only thing they have in their mind is their convenience. They do not have a foresight or insight even into their grandchildren of what's happening in this nation.
That's right. Now, wait, this is an important one. Don't these leaders have children and grandchildren? Don't they see the future? Do they want to turn this country into a third world cesspool without freedom for their own grandchildren? Who do they think? Let me start with this. God bless Nancy Pelosi and her family. She's a grandmother. Doesn't she see the future she's trying to bring upon America and what it will do to her own descendants?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Everything turn. There's a time to laugh and a time to weep. You decide whether it's a time to laugh or a time to weep for Lady Liberty. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Lady Liberty has been hogtied. She is being raped by the illegal aliens. She is being raped by the landlords who are using the illegal aliens. Lady Liberty is there in bindings, screaming for us to release her. Those of us who know this and are trying to release Lady Liberty are being defamed by the illegal alien mobs who are raping her. That is my opinion. If you don't like it, you are on the wrong side of history, Buster. And you haven't seen the American person yet. You are yet to see America. You've heard me. But you haven't seen the face of America yet. And I warn you, I'm going to tell you again, you keep doing this. You keep trying to destroy our freedoms and our language and our borders. One day there's going to be a flashpoint in this country, and God only knows what will happen after that deluge. But I don't want to be around to see I don't want to be around to have to clean that up. You've gotten away with murder. You stole your education. You steal welfare. You steal medical care. And now you have the nerve to try to steal freedom of speech. You're not going to get away with it. I can guarantee you, you're not going to pull this one off.
Savage.
And I'm still waiting for Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson, as you well know, great defenders of African Americans, to say one word about the execution style murders of three middle-class black college students by an illegal alien out on parole in Newark, New Jersey. And these are the same despicable reverends who were so vociferous in their hatred of Don Imus, purely out of jealousy, by the way, but have nothing to say about execution, the execution of middle-class black college students. What does that tell you about the so-called establishment for every segment of the society and every race? I think pretty much can put two and two together, that it's all a sham. We have a real treat for you right now, which is we have a live microphone inside the chambers of the San Francisco City Supervisors right now, and they're getting ready to vote on this resolution condemning me. These are the people who have lauded Hugo Chavez, the dictator, fascist. But listen to this. What you're going to hear are people speaking in the chambers during public opinion. Go ahead, please.
In your constituency, which is the youth of the city and county of San Francisco, my name is Harris Tabak. I live in the Lower Haight, and I'm a criminal defense lawyer in this city. And I've been doing that for about 24 years. And I can assure
good you boy.
Of one thing, and that is yes. that the overwhelming what? Majority of people uh-huh. who find themselves uh-huh. prosecuted in the criminal justice system mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. have no college education.
Oh.
Most have not even finished high school.
It is I see. So what, we should grant them degrees from Berkeley for being a criminal? Hey, wait a minute. That's a novel idea. Take every felon and give them a PhD from Berkeley.
To both commit crimes and to find themselves in the criminal justice system.
And liberalism is a mental disorder, and these bleeding heart liberals belong in a straitjacket.
That our young people are faced with. To have
young people? Shut this vermin off. Get him off my show. This is the kind of thing that passes for intelligence in San Francisco. Bleeding heart liberals bleeding all over each other and bleeding all over the streets. You hear what Sherlock came up with? The highest percentage of people in our criminal justice system have no college degrees. So the conclusion is what? Let me see if I can figure that one out. They're too stupid, drug addicted, or selfish, or deranged, and have no discipline, and consequently they're criminals, and therefore what? You should arrest the people with college degrees? Just what is this defense lawyer getting at? I live in an insane asylum. I live in a total insane asylum. It's a hate crime to hate crime, writes a blogger. It's a hate crime to hate crime, says Aaron B. Sam, .blogspot.com. It said that it's not a hate crime to hate crime. I actually hate crime, and he wants to know how it could be a hate crime to hate crime. He quotes me. He says, the strikers owe the U.S. taxpayer reimbursement for their college degrees and any other public benefits they may have caged over the years here illegally. Then they should be deported. So for that reason, I'm being condemned by these illegitimate? Well, I'm actually proud to be condemned by the people who laud Hugo Chavez. At least you know where you are, you see. Play the feed now again. Go back to the hall.
Whatever changes on the property to make it better, but it needed it landmarked first.
All right, a bleeding heart liberal defense attorney who can't do anything else, so he culls the bottom of the barrel for public funds in order to defend them. That's who they are. Loser attorneys who can't get jobs in major firms. Usually wind up taking these pro bono kind of cases, or they go to work for a public defender's office in order to get a little bit of money. They got to make 20, 25 grand a year somehow. So they take these cases, then they couch it in liberalism, that they're for the downtrodden. They're down with the people. Los Angeles, KLAA. Greg, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's come to my attention that you're basically being economically impeded by what the San Francisco commie rat bastards have done. You got sued already, man.
Well, you see, you're saying by trying to tar brush me with a lie, they're impeding my economic advantage. Isn't that what you're saying?
Correct. They're already costing you money.
Well, we'll find that out soon enough. And if that is the case, we're going to sue Sandoval Daily and the city of San Francisco. As you well know, I'm very well represented by good legal talent. KNEW, San Francisco. Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Michael, I just wanted to tell you to hang in there with what's going on with Sandoval. And I also wanted to suggest to you to pursue legal action against Sandoval. You know, I had a similar situation at UC Berkeley with the Students for Justice in Palestine there, one of their leaders, one of their board members. And I sued him, and I got a monetary judgment against him. And I think
are you a professor over there? I mean, I don't want to get into details.
Well, I write for Front Page Magazine. I'm one of their writers.
Oh, okay. And they sued you saying you defamed the Palestinian murderers?
Sorry? I'm sorry. I missed what you said.
The Palestinian murderers said that you defamed them by calling them Palestinian murderers?
Well, that among other things. I mean, actually what they did was they put up a website called Lee Kaplan Watch, and they started claiming I'd been sued for libel, which I never had been.
Oh, and you sued them and won. Isn't that nice? So there's a precedent. That's terrific.
Funny judgment from them. So you're in the position to do the same thing with Sandoval. And on a much bigger
scale. Well, you heard Danny Horowitz on. You know he's as top high as they go. I mean, he wouldn't have done this if he didn't think that there was real injustice in a real case, Lee.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If you need an expert witness, I'll be glad to come in and testify for you.
All right, let's get Lee's name and address. Thanks very much, Lee. In a few minutes, we're going to have another fabulous man on, and that is Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily. Joe is a long friend of mine. I mean, I never met Joe in person, but Joe and I work together. Joe has covered this case from the beginning. And surprise of surprises to you racist Jew haters out there, Joe is an Arab.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
This is Michael Savage. You're listening to the best of the last 3 days when I stood my ground against the enemies of freedom.
Savage.
And the war on talk radio is what we've been talking about. In this case, it's me, the lightning rod, Michael Savage. But I'm not alone. In fact, the leaders of talk radio are being attacked, perhaps not as vociferously as I am right now. The war on talk radio, as talkers prove their influence on public policy, the sharp knives come out, says Joe Farah, editor-in-chief of WorldNetDaily.com. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's great to be with you, Michael. Thank you.
Well, you've been 100% with me from the beginning of this. I bet you never thought it would be me who would wind up in the crosshairs so fast. Joe, I didn't think it would be me, did you?
In the vanguard, you are pushing their buttons. You know what this is really all about, Michael? This is about a term that you coined years ago called the government media complex. And it was a profound turn of the phrase, because what you observed was that the press, the whole communications industry, had become, instead of being the watchdog on government that it was intended to be, it has become a lapdog of government. And that government was essentially using the media to expand itself, to grow itself in terms of power. And that's what we're seeing. It's whether it's Sandoval in San Francisco or whether it's the Fairness Doctrine in Washington, there is an all-out war on talk radio. I'm not at all surprised you're the first guy experiencing it the way you are because, let's face it, you are pushing their buttons harder than anybody else.
Okay, you say that last month radio talkers presided over a minor American revolution when they urged millions of citizens to successfully oppose the immigration amnesty bill that the president and both political parties have been pushing relentlessly. It went down in flames, a devastating blow to the political establishment. Now it's revenge time, and they say, what kind of effect might talkers have on voters during the critically important November election just around the corner? And so I think what you're implying is what I already know, which is that both parties want us out of business. Isn't that really it?
Absolutely. Look, we don't have two parties in this country. When you get right down to it, I think many of us have come to that realization over the last 8 years. If you're going to tell me there's a difference between George Bush and Hillary Clinton or Rudy Giuliani and Barack Obama, I don't see a dime's worth of difference between these people. And, there is a political elite in Washington, an establishment in Washington that wants power. That's what they're all about. That's what most politicians want. That's what your friend Sandoval wants. That's what the San Francisco supervisors want. They want power, and when you threaten their power, like you did in this immigration debate, and like you do in rubbing these guys the wrong way in San Francisco, they're going to come after you. And that's what we see. That's why we're having this war on talk radio.
Isn't it interesting, though, that I had a friend uncover this last night, that the very same supervisors who are condemning me as we speak in the halls of San Francisco's City Hall, they passed a proclamation in 2002 lauding Hugo Chavez and his government for democracy, Joe. Can you believe this?
But see, it fits perfectly. See, we tend to think that these guys who call themselves liberals and progressives in this country, that they actually believe in things like the First Amendment. They actually believe in freedom of speech. They give lip service to it. Hey, you know what? They gave lip service to it in the Soviet Union. They give lip service to it today in Red China. But they don't believe in it. And they are going, and let me tell you something. We haven't seen anything yet, Michael. My new book, Stop the Presses, I talk a lot about the fairness doctrine and the history of it. I'll tell you something. What happened with this immigration debate tells me that in 2009, especially if the Democrats retain control of both houses of Congress, and especially if you get a Hillary Clinton in the presidency, we are going to have the fairness doctrine back in this country. That is a guarantee in that scenario. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. That in 1987, when the fairness doctrine was scrapped by Ronald Reagan and his FCC, what happened, we had 20 years of an explosion of freedom of speech that nobody quite appreciates how big it was and how directly it was tied to the elimination of the fairness doctrine. You know, talk radio. There were 75 talk radio hosts in America in 1987, and today there's something like 3,000 of them. And so,
well, I guess that's not good for the forces of oppression. They don't like freedom, and they don't like freedom of speech. So, in 20 years, we've gone to the level of 3,000 talk radio shows. Now they want to reduce it to one Voice of America? Something like Tony Snow being the only voice permitted on the media, in the American media. What's laughable about this, Joe, is that you've got the rise of talk radio, the rise of the internet with sites like WorldNet Daily being so prominent, and the decline of ABC, CBS, NBC, and the American newspaper. There is a direct relationship. Many of the people who used to read papers religiously now read the internet and listen to talk radio religiously, Joe. Isn't that true?
That's right, and you're talking to a guy who spent 20 years doing everything you can do in the newspaper business. I love the newspaper business, but guess what? The reason it's dying, and the reason it's been dying for, 30 or 40 years, is because there is more competition out there. They no longer have a hammerlock of control. There are competing voices. That's why the network newscasts don't have the kinds of numbers that they once had before, because of your voice, because of my voice. And, you know, competition is a great thing. We value it in every sphere of life. You would think that liberals, of all of them, would value it when it comes to communications, freedom of speech, but they don't. And they're showing their true colors now by attacking you, by proposing a reintroduction of the Fairness Doctrine. And it just goes to show you.
But, Joe, this is really an attempt to subvert even Congress and the Fairness Doctrine by coming out in the streets. You know, tomorrow they're going to be outside my radio station, my local affiliate in San Francisco, screaming that I be fired. They're trying to pull an Imus on me. Of course, they cannot succeed because there's a big difference between Imus and myself, not only structurally but also intellectually. And, of course, I said nothing that was wrong. I said exactly what was right. They're illegal immigrants, they're criminals, and they should be deported. They have no right to a green card just because they stole an education from the American people. And the truth shall set us free. However, don't you think it's very much like hijacking even the Fairness Doctrine? Maybe they're afraid they couldn't even get the Fairness Doctrine passed so that the powers that be, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, God knows who else is behind this, George Soros, I would guess, must have a hand in this somewhere. That would be another guess. Don't you think they're trying to take us down and talk radio one by one?
Yes, they will use any means necessary. Remember that old phrase from the late 60s, any means necessary?
Yeah, that comes from the Communist Revolution, yes, by any means necessary. You and I, you see, we have the context of history, and we understand how street theater works. We also understand how dangerous they are. They want a Chavez-like dictatorship in this country where only they and their opinions can be broadcast. Everything else has to be hidden and hushed up. And there becomes hate speech, which means any speech they don't agree with. How do we win this, Joe? Do we win this fight or do we lose it?
Well, I think the good news is that, you know, the reason they're coming after you, Michael, right now is because you are being effective. That's my consolation every time I come under attack. You know, I don't think I'd be experiencing these attacks if I wasn't being effective. So we are making a difference out there, and I think that the answer is fighting even harder, staying on offense, not on defense. That's my prescription for, you know, taking back America, and, as long as God gives me the strength to go on, and I know it's true for you, too, that's what we're going to do.
You know, I want to tell my audience that Joe Farah and WorldNetDaily.com published my first three political books. The Savage Nation, blockbuster, huge bestseller, over 300,000 in hardcover. The Enemy Within and Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Didn't you co-publish those, Joe?
Yeah, we made some good money on that deal.
Yeah, well, you and I should talk again about another book because we had a team that was magic. It was the magic team. It really worked. And I haven't written for a while. I mean, The Political Zoo came out. We didn't do that together. It's a fabulous book. But I think it went over the heads of a lot of readers because, frankly, it was too literate. I'm sorry to tell you. But I have a couple of other things in mind, including a film. Joe, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? How do they find out more about your book? First of all, not only Whistleblower, The War on Talk Radio, but where can they get a copy of your book? I mean, that's an important book. Where do they get Stop the Presses?
Stop the Presses is available everywhere, but I would recommend you go to WorldNet Daily because it's so prominently displayed there. I wonder why. Also, you know, we offer it autographed on every copy. You buy the book, you get an autographed copy. So if that interests you, great. I really think that Stop the Presses is an important book because of this threat that we face, this common threat that we face. And it's not just media people. It's not just Savage and Farah who are threatened here. It's everybody who cares about freedom and alternative voices.
Well, I hope the people flood your site because you've been behind me every step of the way here while I've been under attack. In fact, I was surprised before you go, Joe, your article was linked by Matt Drudge over the weekend for 24 hours on the, it says San Francisco may condemn Savage. Remember with the picture of the Golden Gate Bridge that he ran? I was amazed that he didn't write the story himself, rather than no one there wrote it up. They took it directly from WND and ran your site. You must have been deluged with hits.
Yeah, I think we got something like 500,000 visitors on that story in a few hours. So it's good news.
Gee.
Matt,
wow, so I would say everybody who's political in America, everyone who thinks, anyone who writes, anyone who reads the internet and these main sites, Drudge, WND, and others. So they all know about what's going on in San Francisco now, and they know what they're trying to do to me. But, Joe, I want to leave one major thing, and I think I have to send this to you. We found a friend of mine, found it. 2002, San Francisco Supervisor Sandoval and Daley and the others, who are condemning me as I speak, put out a laudatory proclamation in the halls of San Francisco for Hugo Chavez and his government, lauding him for democracy in Venezuela. You know, I rest my case. Here's a man who has banned opposition newspapers, closed down radio and TV stations, declared himself the president for life, is seizing property. Isn't this exactly what the left-wing agenda is in this country?
It's exactly right. So we shouldn't be surprised by it. We should say, okay, he's consistent. He's for shutting down newspapers and television stations around the world. He's for shutting down Michael Savage. This guy is a totalitarian. He wants a police state. He wants to be in control.
Well, Joe, you and I know that the left wing are fascists. We know that. Why are so many good Americans confused into believing that they're liberals? How do they get there, Joe?
Well, because they believe the rhetoric, you know, which can be deceptive, which can sound humane, which can sound, you know, wonderful at times. But, you know, what they fail to realize is just look at what these guys do in practice. Not 99% of the time, but 100% of the time, they cause misery. They cause genocide. They cause, you know, just unbelievable kinds of Holocaust.
Well look, here's Ahmadinejad links up with Chavez of Venezuela, and we have the city of San Francisco attacking me and supporting Chavez, and by proxy, Ahmadinejad. How can liberals support that?
But it's the highest form of flattery for you, Michael. Remember that. It is the highest. I wish these guys would come after me with that kind of venom. It would make me feel...
Well, I hear that from some people in the media that they're jealous that I'm being attacked. But I got to tell you, I think that you wouldn't want to trade shoes with me right now. You know, it sounds like fun, but believe me, you don't want to walk in my moccasins tonight, nor sleep in my bed. And I mean that, of course, in a jest. I know I'm in San Francisco, and that can be misinterpreted, Joe. Anyway, Joe, look, it's you can laugh at all of this stuff, but it's pretty serious business when they try to quench freedom and freedom of speech. Again, worldnetdaily.com is to be visited. This is Joe Farah, my good friend. Joe, good luck with your book, Stop the Presses.
Thank you, Michael. God bless.
I can use it. That's right. God bless.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
If you want to say something, you can write at The Savage Nation. But please go on to michaelsavage.com. The best articles and videos of the entire event are there. You say, well, oh, you're a self-centered guy. Hey, there's no bigger story in the media right now. There's no bigger story in the American media right now. I am the point man for free speech in America. Not Rush Golf Bag, not Sean Wallbanger. Michael Savage is the number one target of the illegitimate in this country. And I have an answer for them. Illegitimate non carborundum. Baby, you're not going to grind me down. You'll grind yourself down with your own hatred. And I got some good news for my supporters out there. The more these windbag leftist phonies continue to scream racism in a crowded nation, the more we know that they are the actual racists. One day, this beautiful city that I live in will be retaken by the hardworking heterosexual people who built it, not by these left-wing, anti-family, anti-Catholic, anti-Jewish, anti-military, anti-police vermin. This gang of leftist vermin who have stolen the city from the beautiful people of this city. They're not all like this. Make no mistake about it. They hate these supervisors. They're hated by everybody in this city except a very small band of demented fools who think that they run this town. But let me tell you something. Every dog has his day, and I haven't had mine yet. And I want to thank the local TV station KTVU. They're the only ones who ask me my opinion. So let's play for a moment or two that KTVU piece from this morning. Just start it. Go ahead, please.
Current war of words over Michael Savage and his radio show is certainly not the first. His controversial remarks have made headlines before. But is it all, rather, protected by free speech? Savage's attorney, Daniel Horowitz, joins us in studio this morning. Thanks for being here. Michael Savage is on the phone with us this morning. Michael, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Let me read your quote. I would say, let them fast until they starve to death.
Hold it right there. We'll come back to this.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Don't be...
Listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Current war of words over Michael Savage and his radio show is certainly not the first. His controversial remarks have made headlines before, but is it all, rather, protected by free speech? Savage's attorney, Daniel Horowitz, joins us in studio this morning. Thanks for being here. Michael Savage is on the phone with us this morning. Michael, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Let me read your quote. I would say, let them fast until they starve to death. Then that solves the problem. Did you really mean that you wanted those folks to starve to death?
Do you have any children?
Two.
You?
Two.
Two, good. When you get a child pulling a tantrum and says, Daddy, I'm not going to go to school today. I'm not going to eat my breakfast. What you say to your child is, look, if you don't want to eat, go ahead, don't eat until you starve to death. What has happened to satire in this country? Are these people that ignorant that they don't understand what satire is? Or how to raise a spoiled brat? And moreover, what part of illegal alien don't these hordes understand? They are criminals. They're not citizens. They're demanding the rights of citizens over a citizen.
Let's stay away from the immigration issue. Let's talk about the speech issue.
That's the critical element to the whole thing. They're illegal aliens. They're criminals. How can you stay away from the 400-pound elephant?
All right, let me ask the attorney here, Horowitz, then, to answer the question directly. Address the free speech issue. The illegal immigration we're not going to solve here today. It's going to be debated until the end of time, probably. But is this free and protected speech what he said, no matter how distasteful?
Totally. You just heard it on your airwaves. I mean, should you lose your job because you had Michael on your show saying the same type of thing that he said on his radio air? No, you may want to put on a counter voice tomorrow morning. That's free speech. You don't have a government official, this Sandoval clown, trying to take a man's job because the government doesn't like what Michael Savage said.
All right, well, let's listen to Gerardo Sandoval. He held a news conference yesterday. As long as we're getting into the free speech here, Good. Let Sandoval speak and we'll have you address that. Good. Let's listen.
Mr. Savage's comments that a group of students who were demonstrating out here in this plaza, demonstrating in the best American traditions and trying to change the society for the better, his comments that they should fast until they died, until they starved to death, should be condemned. It's equally hateful as Mr. Imus's comments.
But it's hyperbole. I mean, Michael doesn't really want people to die. He's trying to make a point in his argument. But at some point, free speech... Now, Sandoval went on to call Savage Hitler and Stalin. He doesn't really mean that. Michael Savage didn't kill 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. I mean, aren't we getting into an era here where it's just hyperbole and a lot of people... The short name for that is hype. And you get more viewers. You get more listeners when you hype.
I don't think it's hype. I just think it's strong language. It's creative language. He's brilliant. He's fun. I would never have a radio audience because I'm dull. I'm a lawyer. I speak in dull terms. Michael brings the debate to an emotional level. People love it. And then people talk. What Sandoval did, though, is he tried to use his job as a supervisor to bring the power of the city against Michael, to organize hordes to come to Michael's studio and protest. And he's tried to get people to go to religious ceremonies and interrupt them. See, this guy Sandoval goes further. He tries to do something that's threatening, whereas Savage's words are just very strong.
Well, we're talking free speech. We're also talking about the right to free assembly, which is also in the First Amendment. If they want to hang out KNEW today, I mean, why not let?
That's fine. But Sandoval goes further. He starts to urge interrupting religious ceremonies. There's limits. Just like protesters at abortion clinics can't stop women from getting abortions. Right. Sandoval goes too far.
I want to bring Michael back in here. Why don't you just apologize and let this whole thing go away, Michael?
Can I say another word?
Sure, go.
Sandoval supported a resolution along with Newsom and the other pack of left-wing gangsters in 2002 saluting Hugo Chavez, the dictator. Hugo Chavez, who has eliminated television stations that oppose him, who now wants to be president for life. They haven't rescinded that salutation for Hugo Chavez. Right. The very same gang of left-wing gangsters who support that dictator condemn Michael Savage. I'm very proud that that gang doesn't like me.
All right, well, let's you know, here we go. He's calling them gangsters now. You're suing because Sandoval called him Hitler and Stalin. I mean, there's no legal action here. You can't get damages in court. I mean, he called them gangsters. We know they're not gangsters, and so it's just controversial conversation. It's not anything that's going to wind up in a court of law, right, or it's not anything that's going to shut down Michael Savage's show.
We're not suing Sandoval for making a clown of himself in public. Anything he says is fine. When he tries to get the city of San Francisco, the government, to come down on a man, take his job because he doesn't like what the man said. That's the difference. The government can't take your job because the government doesn't like what you said.
And the government, even though they passed a resolution,
they didn't pass it. They lost.
I know they lost, but they lost. Point is, it's a symbolic resolution, even if it does pass.
It's
they can't take his job either.
I know, but it's tied to public action. He's taking his government post, merging that with private action. He can say whatever he wants in public, as much as he's an idiot, but he cannot take the government and tie that to private action to send hordes against Michael Savage.
Right.
That's when he goes over the line.
All right. Well, the protest continues today. We'll be down. A lot of cameras will be down there. That generates a lot of viewers. Michael, I'm going to let you have the last word on this part of the segment, but be brief, okay, because I've got a response coming.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. You're the first one in the Bay Area media who's done so. Everyone else seems to take whole, out of whole cloth what this pack of left-wing goons has to say. Thank you very much.
All right, Michael Savage from the Savage Nation, which airs locally on KNEW.
Savage.
If you have First Amendment reservations, I encourage you to ask the city attorney. And I know in my heart that if this commentary was directed at the Chinese-American community or the Asian community, you would not be resorting to this empty and rigid formalism on your part. And
all right, let's pause right there. To me, someone said to me that was a stereotype aimed at Mr. Edju, who I've never met, by the way. I suspected, and we found out, that rhetoric is right out of the Soviet Union when they were trying to suppress any kind of dissent, and it was used against Shostakovich. It was used against great composers and artists, and it's now being used against me by this little petty bureaucrat, Sandoval. But the issue is a little different than you may think. Only one man stood up. I don't know Mr. Edju. He doesn't know me. But I was so pleased to see a man who understands the First Amendment. I believe he said what Michael Savage allegedly said, I don't agree with, but he has a right to say it because he's protected by the First Amendment. That apparently got the entire Board of Supervisors really crazy. Joining us right now is a great American, a real great American, who I've never met, incidentally, Mr. Edju of San Francisco. Thank you very much for taking the trouble of being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having me on here. And I'm not a great American. I'm just an American.
Well, look, we don't know each other. I got to tell you something. Last night, after all of this pressure I'm under, I went into one of my favorite restaurants in the city, Shanghai 1930, you know, and it's amazing because I talked to some of the cooks, and a lot of the Chinese people, they really like me, and they understand communism, and they understand conformism, and they understand terror against the individual. You're having your own constitutional rights in the attacked right now, aren't you, sir?
Yes, that's correct. You know, self-incrimination, the Fifth Amendment, and, you know, it's been a pile-on, and I just want to keep it at that.
Okay. With you in the studio, with you is your attorney, I understand. Is that correct, Mr. Steve Gruhl?
Oh, that's correct. Hello,
all right.
Michael. You know, I don't want to talk a lot about legalese and such, but you asked the question and exactly right. There's an issue going on here in San Francisco about Mr. Drew's ability or his legal ability to be a resident of the district that he is serving as we speak. The city attorney and the district attorney have essentially worked in tandem to have him come in on the one hand and try to explain why he is a resident of that district. And on the other hand, if he does come in and explain while he's there, they plan to use that against him in a criminal proceeding. So you have the Fifth Amendment of the United States essentially being used as a whip to try to get himself in trouble.
But, well, you know, I'll go into that for a minute. It's true that many police and firemen don't live in the city of San Francisco. Should they all be fired?
Well, anyways, they're trying to make it so that
of the firemen and police officers reside in the city, but it's very difficult due to the fact that the cost of housing is so expensive. So they're
right.
trying to do something on when it comes down to that. But when it comes down
Mr. Gruhl, has Mr. Jew been in trouble with the supervisors before, forget me, and before this issue of residency? Has he stood apart in the past because of his independence? Has he taken positions that were not, let's say, lockstep with Sandoval at all?
Well, I couldn't have said that any better. One of the things that the supervisor Jew, I think, is known for in this community is being his own man, his own voice, and looking, quite frankly, looking out for the betterment of the city, as opposed to, you know, some sort of agenda that might be to promote something that really doesn't deal with things like potholes and homelessness and things like that.
But what I want to add, Mr. Savage, is that I was elected by the people in the District 4, which is the Sunset Park side, and I promised that I will work on issues that are going to help the community, which is address the pothole issue, pedestrian safety, help small business, make sure our kids can go to a neighborhood school, and just basically improve the quality of life issues that are really important, because everybody works one job or two jobs, and we're local officials, not state senators or congressmen, and not representing the Supreme Court. And I really believe that the local representative should take care of local issues. So that's what I've been concentrating in doing.
Well, what's amazing to me is that Sandoval had the nerve to say, had these comments been aimed at the Asian American or Chinese American community, these racist comments, so-called, blah, blah, blah. There was no racism in anything I said. I said that the illegal aliens who were going on a so-called hunger fast are like children to me, and if they want to fast, they should fast until they starve to death in a sarcastic manner, the way I would say it to children who were saying, Daddy, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm not eating breakfast because I don't want to go to school. I'd say, well, you don't want to eat, so don't eat till you starve to death. Remember, I'm a sarcastic guy from the East Coast. This is how I talk. But I don't think I'm the only person in the world who uses sarcasm. But there's no racism in there. There's no reference to any particular ethnic group. So this whole thing is being distorted for political reasons. And I would go a step further, Mr. Jew, and I don't expect you to agree or disagree with me. Am I assuming that your district is has a significant Asian American population in it?
Correct. It's about 55% Asian American population.
Okay. And are you the only Asian American on the Board of Supervisors?
Completely correct.
I would say that we should look into the racism of Sandoval in attacking you and the rest of them. Maybe there's a little racism in there against Chinese Americans or Asian Americans. Maybe they're the real racists here. But I'll leave that for your attorney in his defense of you. The bigger picture here is that you what was your exact statement back to Sandoval? Is that you don't know what Michael Savage said, but if the comments are such, you don't agree with them? Is that what you said?
I said, for the record, that I don't agree with what Mr. Savage says, but he has his First Amendment rights to have his own comment. And I want to basically say that I don't agree with my wife, and she has her own First Amendment rights.
Oh, you're good. That's great. Yeah. I don't know who agrees with their wife. That's funny. Or which wife agrees with their husband. All right. Yes, but we have First Amendment rights to disagree with each other. That's what America and democracy is all about. So now you're facing this persecution by a gang there, in my words, not yours. And I've learned today that they don't like you prior to me and prior to this trumped up. They've trumped. I watched this evolve against you, Mr. Jew, before you stated that you're for the First Amendment. They were all ganging up on you. And I said, what is really behind all of this? It can't be a residency thing. It's that this man is an independent. Are you a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent?
Well, if you take a look at the way I vote, I'm an independent, but I am a registered Democrat.
Well, but you're not Democrat enough for the Democrat Party. You're not left-wing enough, apparently, and that makes you a conservative. I think you ought to run for the mayor's office. You know what's liable to happen? If you ran for the mayor's office, whenever the next election is, I don't know whether you'd win, but the tens of thousands of San Franciscans who have been so disenchanted with what's gone on in this city are liable to come out and vote for you. People who haven't been heard from for 10 years would come out and vote for you, Mr. Jew, because they understand that you're not part of this little party operation going on in the city that's running this wonderful city into the ground. It's a laughingstock around the country, and a very mean little laughingstock at that. But I'll give you the last word. I understand you're having your own civil rights issues, your own constitutional rights in jeopardy, or jeopardized, rather, by Sandoval and his gang. What can the listeners of this show do, both in the city of San Francisco and outside, if anything, to help you in your legal troubles with them when they're trying to get you thrown out?
Well, I think the bottom line is that I do have a court case when it comes down to my residency issue, and that's going to be coming up most likely in October. And all I ask is individuals to really, if they can, participate, listen into it, but don't believe what you completely read in the paper, because in the last 47 days, a mainstream paper was 90% was very, very biased in one way. And all I can say is that they had the freedom of expression and freedom of speech, and I didn't come out and trounce them. I just kept them up to myself, and I think that was the way I was brought up, being a third-generation San Franciscan. And I am going to continue to do my job as a supervisor, and I'm just knowing that my attorneys have a good case with me working on it when it comes down to domicile and the intent. So,
I hear you. It's interesting what you just said, Supervisor. You said that 95% of the media coverage against you about you has been against you by the local paper, and they've distorted the actual issues of residency. It's exactly the same with me. There was no racial element in anything that I said, and yet these hysterical race baiters are screaming race in a crowded city and a crowded nation. There was no reference to Latino or Caucasian or Asian in anything I said, and yet they're trying to turn it into an issue of race for their own demonic ends, and I certainly understand that. Last point I'd like to make is this. Did you know me before this? Did I know you? Did we ever meet before?
I've never met you, and I've heard about you, and I've have not even if I bump into you in the street, I wouldn't even know who you are.
All right, I just want people to understand this is no setup issue, but I hope after this that reasonable minds can cool down a little bit and actually listen to what I said and analyze where you actually reside before they rush to judgment in this kind of crucifixion that's going on in San Francisco by these mean-spirited little men. And perhaps one of these days you can be my guest in Shanghai 1930 for a dinner, because I love that restaurant.
I would love to.
Thank you so much, Supervisor Edgew, and his attorney, Steve Gruhl, for taking the time to be with us on The Savage Nation.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Let's go back to the station and listen to the mob. Oh, turn it off. Oh, they're still using the stuff from the 60s? Hey, hey, ho, ho. My God, is that translated now into Spanish? Let me hear that again. Woo! Let's hear it again. Is the chanting over? Oh, they stopped the chanting. It's time. It's time for a little snack, I guess. Are they passing out the snacks to the hunger strikers? Hey,
hey. Please get a little bit closer to the mic.
Yeah, get closer to the mic. This is your big moment.
El señor Miguel Robles de Aldi, si está por ahí, por favor, pase.
This is your country. Look what happened to America. A group of illegal alien communist anarchist socialists from hell are now trying to throw me off the air in a foreign language. You know, if we lived in a legitimate nation where there was a rule of law, the federal government would be there with deportation vans, and they would arrest this woman. These are illegal aliens. They're not citizens. Most of them are here illegally, and they're trying to throw an American-born man off the radio. They're not going to win. They're just not going to win. It's that simple. You know? Kathleen, Indianapolis, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Make your point.
I am a true liberal, like your lawyer, and I am horrified that they're trying to violate your First Amendment rights. It's just wrong. However, I fear that I hear you getting angry and more angry, and I don't want you to stoop to their level.
Okay. So you're worried about my health?
No, I understand that you want to defend yourself, and you have that right. I don't want you to stoop to their level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Extremist dialogue in the defense of my liberty is no vice. And let me tell you something else. Moderation in the defense of liberty is no virtue. This is no time for me to be moderate when I have mobs screaming for my job. You understand, Kathleen? I have to fight with all of my skill and all of my daring and all of my all of the, let us say, quivers in my, whatever they call it, all the arrows in my, whatever they used to shoot. I have to use what I have to use. And if it's a good liberal lawyer like Dan Horowitz, I'll use a good liberal lawyer. Don't you agree that they don't look too good right now? Let me ask you that, Kathleen, as you sound like a younger person. Do they look like they're being very fair or kind or reasonable here?
Yeah, I'm 21, and they look horrible. I mean, they look like children.
And because they're mad at Congress, they're trying to take it out on me.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
This is Michael Savage. You're listening to the best of the last 3 days when I stood my ground against the enemies of freedom. Some excellent articles came out. Amongst them are those that can be found on michaelsavage.com. And I invite you to go on my website and read these articles.
Savage.
Racism and homophobia serve the same master.
I go, sir. A little Guajira music for the Savage Nation, something that many of my new Latino listeners might be shocked to realize I do on a regular basis. After all, you've been hearing nothing but lies about me. Welcome. Amigo, welcome to the Savage Nation. So a number of things are being said about me, but they're all lies. For 2 hours now, I've put out an award. Anybody who can show one scintilla of race in anything that I allegedly said to have sparked this incident will win a huge prize, but no one's called because there's no race in anything I said. All the racism is being promoted by Gerardo Sandoval and the other race baiters who are trying to use the poor Hispanic people in their attempt to push socialism in the United States of America, in this case by eliminating free speech of those they oppose. Now, there's been articles written about me, some good, some bad. Some of them are funny. A guy named Adam Grotman, who I never heard of, has a blog. That means he doesn't make a living. And he wrote Best Funny Radio Personality. That's how they try to trivialize you. In other words, I'm funny. I'm as funny as let's say, George Washington was funny in his off moments. You know, I'm real funny, Adam. But I wouldn't expect anything less from a guy who writes a blog for a living. And obviously, you're a trust fund case who doesn't have to work, as I did all of my life. You've never had your birthright stolen from you, as I have by affirmative action, Adam. But some of it's entertaining, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, since I listened to Savage years ago in San Francisco, one of its local voices from that era has since turned into a huge success, becoming a widely syndicated radio host, major best-selling author, controversially fired cable TV personality, and all around agent provocateur of the confrontational right. Then he goes into this and that. Blah, blah. The host, Michael Savage, the guy who a few years ago put out national best-selling books entitled The Enemy Within and Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, he goes on to try to put me down. And then he says, but this man is a potentially brilliant late night stand-up comedian, the kind you'd find in a suburban brick-walled blue-lit lounge with an audience of attentive loner intellectuals, Manhattan-sipping sophisticates, and random angry rebels sucking up his heartfelt stream-of-consciousness barrages with more than a few grains of salt and spitting back a lot of ribald laughter. Then he goes on, listen to this. In fact, when Savage was much younger, he wanted to be a stand-up comedian in the vein of Lenny Bruce. Now, what's interesting here is that he got that from a... Let me say this. I also wanted to be Hemingway. I also wanted to be a cowboy. I also wanted to be a jet fighter pilot. But this line that I wanted to be a stand-up comedian came from an old enemy of mine who now writes obituaries for a Jewish newspaper with a circulation equivalent to his deceased father. And yet it's, again, they pick it up and they make it like it was true. Yeah, I once wanted to be like Lenny Bruce, like for 5 minutes when I liked Lenny Bruce, maybe 3 months. But I also wanted to be Hemingway for 10 years. I once wanted to be a cowboy, and I also once wanted to be a jet fighter pilot, but I found that I couldn't fly jets nor any other plane. But again, as I say, an old enemy who is a flop writes obits for a Jewish newspaper with a circulation equivalent to his deceased father, made that line up, and then it stuck for the people who want to debase me. Then, listen to what the so-called blogger writes. He says, today he denigrate Bruce as a, quote, filthy, sick, degenerate junkie who spewed irresponsible leftist hippie garbage, close quote. I never said that. In fact, the other night I said the opposite. It just shows you what passes for even bloggism today. Then he goes on, and some of it's well-written. You know, occasionally the guy can be cogent. Blah, 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 blah. He then goes on. The funny thing is Savage be saying it with a lot of the tone, rhythm, and attitude of Bruce and similarly angry comedians like Dennis Leary, Louis Black, and even Sam Kinison. I don't know who Louis Black is. Sam Kinison was a stone-hearted great genius. Savage is unique among right-wing radio hosts, even among those who display humor. While O'Reilly and Hannity both display some northeastern blue-collar neighborhood guy familiarity, both still are somewhat smoothed out by an understandable catering to middle American tastes and also by a sense of lace-curtain Irish rectitude. I don't know if that word is clean or dirty, but I read it anyway. Rush Limbaugh certainly uses humor, but his comes from a less gritty, raw, or examined place. This hefty Missourian's wit is the province of those with unassailable heartland credentials, the geographic and ethnic perfect American, the ultimate non-minority. Savage, by comparison, is a frothing, boiling cauldron of whip-smart, street-seasoned New York resentment, shtick, and neurosis. Every psychological and verbal arguing tool of the recent American ghetto has been sharpened by Savage into the oral equivalent of a lethal jailhouse shiv. Unlike some of his flimsier, stringier, more effete cohorts from that corner of the world, Savage makes Big Apple Yiddishkeit and old-school New York verbosity a wholly masculine, even powerfully macho attitude and style when he outmuscles defiant callers with his alpha ape psychotic roar. It's the radio equivalent of Harvey Keitel's Mickey Cohen in the movie Bugsy, intimidating everyone, including Bugsy Siegel himself, with his seemingly infinite, outwardly aggressive bravado. Women from Berkeley area become radical vegan. Never. Members of the liberal elite are red diaper doper babies. I use that all the time because they're red diaper doper babies. A rather mellifluous epithet. He even displays a little Jew bashing. Well, I won't go into that because this man is a stone-hearted Jew, self-hating Jew, so I won't even read that. Let us go on. And then he says, about his perceived political enemies, Savage says, the radical Democratic left is an army of soulless ghouls being of the living dead. They live in a world of death and try to impose it on we the living. That's a good line, my friend. Adam, you got that right. If you hear Savage recite this in his purposely semi-monotonous tone, as if he is simultaneously a vibrant human commentator and robotic messenger of unthinkable doom, the unreasonable incendiary content is clearly accompanied by another layer, the distinct ring of very good satire. And when he says things like, we are all sitting here asking ourselves, was there lead in Al Gore's silver spoon? You've simply got to credit Savage for one hell of a zinger. To imagine Savage at his comedic best, think of a darker, throatier Larry David gone 10 times meaner and a lot further into the murky, ugly waters of the stream of consciousness. What's interesting is that his core audience of heartland Americans, self-proclaimed salts of the earth, who state calmly in flat, twangy tones what would have been thought of years ago as radical, reactionary political thought, have not only bonded with this pushy, aggressive New Yorker know-it-all, but many of them have adopted him as their socio-political savior. And you know why, Adam? Do you know why, Adam? Do you know why they've adopted me? Because I'm not you. Because I'm not a punk sitting at a typewriter. I have the guts to come out here and put my body on the line and my mind on the line, Adam. And one day you'll learn that there's a part of you that actually loves me, Adam. And when you become a man, you'll see why. But right now, since you're just a boy, with a computer, you can't understand why they love me. With his superhuman confidence, can I go on here? That's actually not bad. Some of it's pretty good. With his super, hey, by the way, no, let's take a break for a minute. If anyone's driving around in San Francisco or anywhere else, when I say three, I want you to turn your lights on. If anyone's in the vicinity of KNEW or anywhere on the highways and byways, and you support Michael Savage, I want you to flash your lights on and off 10 times. So we're going to go 3, 2, 1, flash the commies, flash, 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 and you'll see you're not so alone. Unless there's a transvestite highway patrolman, I think you're going to get away with it. With his superhuman confidence and chutzpah, Savage somehow makes this all seem as complimentary and natural as apple pie washed down with a kosher egg cream. But just as The Simpsons can be taken on two totally different levels, the upper sarcastic ironic and the lower iconic outrageous, so can Savage's show. Then he says, and I don't think the majority of his listeners take it for the theater of the politically absurd that it usually becomes. Savage quite simply says things that no other major conservative host would even conceive of. He openly admits to loving the environment and often speaks fondly about nature. He recalls his years as a credentialed scientific researcher. Adam, go the next step. Say 2 master's degrees and a PhD, Adam. You can do it, Bubbler. You're such an honest, good boy. Say 2 master's degrees, say PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. You don't have to try to denigrate me because you're only denigrating yourself. Some of these diversions not only stray from the political, they seemingly have nothing to do with any relevant topic whatsoever. Savage is an avid reader and revels in his knowledge of certain classic authors, philosophers, and even poets. One of his quirky catchphrases is, do you know what I'm talking about? Although he calls the show The Savage Nation himself, the general, I don't call myself the general, by the way. I did so the first 3 months. And he calls the studio The Bunker. No, Adam, I haven't done so since 14 years ago. Going so far as to play exploding bombs and machine guns for bumper music, that I do. Savage will launch into serious and knowledgeable discussions of his favorite wines and Italian restaurants. Now listen to how he tries to denigrate you. Listen to what this effete snob tries to say about my audience. With an audience that tends toward mashed potatoes, Coors Light, and Marlboros, he loves his vintage Shiraz, plate of Tuscan braised pork, and fat Dominican cigars? Is he crazy? First of all, I don't eat pork. Secondly, I don't smoke. And thirdly, I hate Shiraz. I don't even know what it is. See, but this is an example. It's like saying I was a racist because I said let them, you know, fast until they starve to death. They make this stuff up. They make it up. I don't eat Tuscan braised pork. I don't like vintage Shiraz. I don't even know what Shiraz is. It's like a cheap wine. And I never smoked a cigar. Don't confuse me with the golfer. He says he is now the rarest of species, an extremely wealthy, academically credentialed, anti-elitist, populist firebrand, and gluttonous gourmand. I don't know about the gluttonous gourmand, but the rest of it is close to the truth. If Savage wasn't real, which I am, he'd be a character in a T.C. Boyle short story. I don't know who T.C. Boyle is. I know I'm much bigger than whoever it may be. He rightfully complained when a Republican president stole his radio show coin term, compassionate conservative. That was Bush with me, a Republican president. However, I would dub Savage with another delightfully contradictory title. What is this? Angry Epicurean. See, even that makes him funny. See, what they try to do is you're funny, you're funny. In other words, they try to dismiss you. The commies call me racist, which I'm not. This guy tries to call me funny, which I can be when I want to be. But they all miss the point. Why don't you just say genius patriot, and then you'll get it just right, Adam Bubbler. But one day you shall be a man, Adam. Right now you're still a little boy who has not yet even gone to his confirmation. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I told you I went into a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I saw a Mexican man with his children, and I said, that's the future of America. He was there with his daughter, dressed up in her prettiest dress for Sunday. taking pride in taking his wife and daughter out for a Sunday dinner in KFC. I haven't seen too many white people with their children on Sunday. They're either watching golf or they're on a business trip or God knows where they are. I have no idea. Maybe they're Brokeback Mountaineering somewhere. I have no idea. But rarely do I see a white man with his wife and children on a Sunday anywhere.
Savage.
The mobs have been bussed up from San Jose by train now. They didn't bus them up. They trained them up. We have a feed direct from the protest. They're speaking only in Spanish. Apparently, they haven't learned the language of the land yet. But they're useful idiots being used again by the communists behind them. They're hysterical. They don't know what I said, but they know I'm an all-around bad man. I just watched myself on a local TV station from the earlier interview. I got to tell you something. I could use a hunger strike. It looks like I put on a little weight over the last few months. And looking at my antagonist here, Sandoval, it looks like both of us could use a hunger strike. Maybe we should consider it ourselves in order to get in shape. I'm going to consider it at the end of the month. A little hunger strike may go a long way. But this is not a laughing matter when you consider that these mobs are being fomented with hatred by a city government against an individual for something I actually didn't say. They're claiming I said kill the children now. Now, this is real mob hysteria and mob violence. And, of course, you'd expect that from the ACLU type of lawyers who are behind them, who are trying to spur this hatred against me. So I will open the show up to you in a moment. I'd like to go direct live in front of my radio station outside the windows here. We have a live feed. Let's hear what's going on.
To give students hope to fulfill their dreams. Mr. Savage over here calls us terrorists. Tell us to go back home and make bombs. That is not our purpose. That is not our message. These words of hatred are reaching a nationwide where our message is lost, which is to enact the Dream Act. Hola, muchos.
All right, hold on. You know what the Dream Act is? Of course it's a dream. You break into the country illegally. And then you get a free college education. Then you want the Dream Act. The Dream Act is, in order to reward you for being criminals, we give you now a green card. The world doesn't work that way, my friend. Of course you want the Dream Act. But it's only a dream, my friend. Because you see, your Dream Act went up in smoke when the immigration slash amnesty bill was killed by the American people in the U.S. Congress. And my friend, moreover, we are not living in the mob nation that you left behind where things are done by vicious, out-of-control police who beat people up and kill them and leave them in the desert. We are a nation of laws, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose in this with this Congress of ours. Right now, my friend, you just lost. The American people and the Congress said no to your Dream Act. They said no to amnesty. They said no to a green card for these lawbreakers. So you just have to become a good American and live with the loss. You see what I mean? But to go after me and say I said this and that and the other thing is crazy. What part of illegal don't you get? Number two, can anyone listening to this show right now please show me one racial component in anything that I have said that these hysterics are talking about there in front of the radio station?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show. Listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Some of the most important articles about this controversy, huh? An American stands up for America and for American citizenship against hordes of illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico, represented by fat pig, animal farm, Marxist Leninists from hell, like Sandoval, like Peskin, like Ammiano, who want to take over this country with a Leninist government where they rule and they think they'll rule the Hispanics and the white people will be subjugated into slavery. Make no mistake about what's going on here. Read the article by Selwyn Duke. Race-baiting politician attacks Michael Savage. It's on michaelsavage.com.
Michael, it occurs to me that while patriotism might at one time have been the last refuge of a scoundrel, this is no longer true. With modern America being characterized more by political correctness than patriotism, screams of racism may now be that last refuge. And joining the ranks of scoundrels, which are populated by reverends without congregations and other assorted gutter snipes, is the man who instigated the current attack against you, San Francisco supervisor Gerardo Sandoval. He earned his yellow stripes by introducing that government resolution condemning you. It failed to pass, thank God. but condemning you for what was just satire, but which Sandoval called defamatory language against immigrants. The truth is, Michael, that what was offensive was not your quip, but Sandoval's shameful playing of the race card. After all, you jokingly said that maybe we should let some students and illegal aliens who were fasting for amnesty starve themselves to death, while Sandoval was quite serious in saying, quote, "The intolerant and racist comments of Michael Savage demand a strong condemnation." He then labeled them symbolic of racism and hatred in his resolution. Now, we first might note the calculated imprecision of Sandoval's terminology. I mean, at issue here are not immigrants, but illegal immigrants. But more to the point, there was no racial component in your statement, Michael. Perhaps Sandoval wishes to imply otherwise, but illegal immigrants hail from a variety of different nations and ethnic groups. And I should also mention that some of the abstemious activists were probably white Native Americans. So it wasn't any kind of consanguinity that united them, but only stupidity, and perhaps a desire to shed some pounds. Then, Michael, I just may know a wee bit about asceticism, and I've never known fasting to be peculiar to a given race. And let's talk about hatred. I think it's love of country that inspires one to risk reputation and limb like you do, Michael, to defend the nation. On the other hand, it's not a stretch to say that advocating policies threatening our culture, sovereignty, freedom, and prosperity just might be motivated by hatred of everything for which America stands. But, you know, accusations of racism are curious things. They're much like charges of heresy under a corrupt regime in a religious land. Whether true or not, they're a great way to demonize opponents. And in our time, the religion of the nation is defined by the irreligious dogmas of the dull, otherwise known as leftist orthodoxy. And transgressing against its tenets is a mortal sin.
That is amazing stuff.
And this reveals what really bothers the Sandovals of the world. You, Michael, have been in the vanguard of the resistance, the effort to protect our borders, language, and culture, as you would say. And to an illegal alien apologist such as Sandoval, this is intolerable. This is why he pulled the race card. Listen, it's the first and last ploy of the intellectually vacuous and irredeemably venal. And it just may be projection. Michael, since in the area of race, Sandoval seems to have the credibility of Al Sharpton. Listen, Sandoval once characterized the San Francisco Fire Department as being like, quote, a Dublin phone book, unquote. Although, let's be fair, Michael, I'm sure Sandoval wouldn't have minded if those of Irish descent weren't white, right? Then, Eileen Lolchuk at sfgate.com tells us that, quote, "Speaking to the Harvey Milk Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Democratic Club in 2001, that's a mouthful, huh? He, Sandoval, urged San Franciscans upset about big businesses suing the city over its payroll tax to picket at their houses in Tiburon and at their bar mitzvahs." We should also point out that Sandoval sat on the board of directors of La Raza Centro Legal, and was the scholarship chair of the group's Lawyers Association. And, as your listeners must know, La Raza means the race. Interestingly, though, Michael, that Sandoval was in bed with the race-based organization isn't mentioned in his biography on his website. Hey, ¿qué pasa, Gerardo? But getting back to Sandoval's comments, their content isn't as damning as his hypocrisy, since he exhibits that typical leftist penchant for playing the race card, the one I mentioned earlier a couple of times. So, Mr. Sandoval, you should remember that bigots in glass hoods shouldn't throw stones. But how do you explain this contradiction of his? Well, first, we have to understand that bigotry, certainly the politically correct version, if not the actual variety, doesn't bother the Sandovals of the world. No. To such people, protestations about racism are never social activism, they're strategy. Michael, it's much like a devastating weapon a warrior employs on the battlefield. Don't be fooled when he complains about how his adversary has used it to destroy his holdings. He loves the weapon, he just doesn't want it used against him.
That's right. Liberalism is a mental disorder.
Since Sandoval stated that He just couldn't understand why there isn't more media outrage to what you said, Michael. Let's talk about something truly outrageous. And this, folks, is the pièce de résistance. On February 15th, 2005, Sandoval appeared on Hannity and Combs and actually said, get this, that the United States should not have a military. I know. It had to be a joke, right? Well, Alan Combs, the liberal on the show, was incredulous and pressed Sandoval on the matter with both questions and statements 11 times, giving the San Francisco stupid visor ample opportunity to amend his position. But sanity, well, was to be elusive. The best Sandoval could muster were retorts such as, welcome to San Francisco. Believe me, you can't make this stuff up. But this is the man who praised Hugo Chavez, so what do we expect? Look, Sandoval belongs in a room with rubber wallpaper, attired in the morning, afternoon, evening wear that comes five sizes too small. But there's a bigger issue here than Sandoval and his misfiring neurons, Michael. Crazy or not, he's a foot soldier in a burgeoning effort to stifle politically incorrect dissent through social pressure, ostracism, reputation and career destruction, the threat of legal action, and ultimately, and this is the scary part, hate speech laws. And as for such laws, Sandoval's and other nations have already enacted them. I've spoken about this before on the show. And their fascistic ilk here have designs on our First Amendment. And this is why this issue matters. Anytime a public official uses the levers of government to chill political, social, and religious commentary, the very type of expression the First Amendment was designed to protect, it's time to form a vigilance committee. Listen, let's ensure the separation of media and state. This is why people should support you, Michael. It's not a matter of whether they love, hate, or are indifferent about what you said, because you don't have to value a man's speech to value free speech for men. In most parts of the world, Western Europe, Canada, and Australia, just to name a few, you and I and many others could be charged criminally for expressing our opinions. And we're treading the same path here. And if our government ever succeeded in silencing you, Michael, who would be next? Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, who then? Who would be next in the food chain?
Right, exactly.
All I can say is, you folks who cheer for the muzzling of defiant voices should take heed, because there is certainly one exception at least to the adage, it is easier to destroy than create, and that would be the tools of big government tyranny. The Sandovals of the world may conjure up the demon who will burn their opponents' tongues from their mouths, but they'll soon learn that his ambition is not to be servant, it's to be master. Of course, Michael, the government is just a reflection of us. A demon can only reign over a land when erstwhile hallowed ground has been desecrated by collective vice. Sandoval is just like every other coward who embraces the fashionable passions of his age. And if his ilk ever does carry the day, it won't be because their passions were so powerful. No, it'll be because our indifference was so profound.
Okay, Selwyn Duke, thanks very much.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Savage.
Right now, I'm going to bring up Daniel Horowitz, all-around good man. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be here.
Daniel, I'm very emotional because we've gotten to know each other over the last year, and you know my background, son of an immigrant. You know that I don't particularly like people to push me around or tell me what to do or what not to do. You also know that I hate injustice of any kind, and I hate bullies. And yet, Daniel, these left-wingers have so distorted the reality that people are living through that they've made themselves look or appear through camouflage and trickery, smoke and mirrors, if you want, as though they're really representing the oppressed minority. But you've laid it out very carefully. I open the floor to you, Daniel. Please speak. I have nothing else to say.
I know. I'm worked up about this too, Michael. When I listen to you on the radio, when I talk to you personally, what I hear time and time again is a big-hearted, compassionate man who is willing to stand up for anybody who is oppressed. Right now, the people who are oppressed are those who want legal immigration and feel that illegal immigration is bad for America and bad for the people who come here illegally. And these people like Sandoval are turning it against you, and he is slandering you because he says Michael Savage is against immigrants. No. Michael Savage is for immigrants and wants these people here legally so they have full protections of the Constitution, of the police. They're not exploited. Michael Savage is for immigrants, and Sandoval is against immigrants. He wants them like slaves so that he can stand up for them, make-believe stand up, and have power over them. If they were here legally, they would throw him in the garbage. That's how I feel, Michael.
Daniel, I'm not going to give you a political litmus test, and you and I have really never talked politics, and I don't intend to start now, but I would assume that you're more liberal than I am. Is that fair to say?
I'm more liberal, and your great defender, Martin Garbus, who is the First Amendment darling of the left, is also your great defender.
And Martin Garbus, who just defended Don Imus, who I met at your recent function. Is a man who defended Lenny Bruce, who knows what the First Amendment means. He's your cousin, right?
Yes, and let me read you the email that I just got from him, because he's on vacation in Italy, and I wrote to him about what's going on. He wrote six words back: "Will return if Michael needs me."
Oh, my God! I don't believe this. You know, I know what good people are, and I know what fraudulent people are. What, you guys from Brooklyn are much better than the guys I knew from the Bronx and Manhattan. You're really good people. So you see, this is what's all about, Daniel. It's really not about liberal or conservative. It's really about good people, period. So you're coming to my aid in my time of need when politically we are probably poles apart on so many issues, but we probably agree on more than we disagree in some ways. One thing we both agree on is we don't like a government stepping on a person. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, and your type of speech, if I disagree with you and it makes my blood boil, that's healthy, because that means that I'm going to speak out against you in very strong language, and that's what democracy is about. So,
all right, so wait, let me take devil's advocate. You're going to speak out against me strongly. Can't Sandoval claim that's all he's doing?
But that's not all he's doing. He's lying about what you said. He's taking your language, which is legitimate, honest speech, and claiming that it's hate language, which it is not, and then he's organizing a mob using his political position to help organize that mob to take your job away. You know, Michael, if I wore an Oakland A's hat, or how about a New York Yankees hat, in San Francisco, and all of a sudden Sandoval said, oh, he's against the San Francisco Giants, I want to take his job away, that would be so stupid, people would laugh Sandoval right out of town. But because he's couching it in political terms, somehow people go, well, can he do that? No, he cannot use the power of the government, of his government position, to try to take your job away, to silence you, because he doesn't agree with you. He can speak out, but he can't try to get a mob to come at you.
All right. You then sent me something more recently today, which we'll get into eventually. You ask, it says, Daniel Horowitz's opinion on SF supervisor case. And again, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I hope you indulge me in this for the next period of time in my broadcast, because it seems to me that all the 14 and a half years in broadcasting has come down to this. It has coalesced down to me becoming the biggest target in the United States of America of the illegitimate, illegal alien criminals and their phony liberal city and state and federal officials behind them. What's a killer to me here, Daniel, is that men who pose like liberals, like the mayor of the city, who frankly could stop this by saying, I detest what Michael Savage may have said, but he has a right to free speech. And yet Mayor Newsom has not said one word. Phony liberals like Boxer and Feinstein are silent. Nobody on the federal level has said we're going to bring deportation buses to stop these mobs from threatening an American citizen. Am I not right in saying I deserve federal protection?
You do, Michael, and you also deserve protection from the ACLU. They stand up for Nazis. They stand up for people who are not even Americans. Why don't they stand up for good old-fashioned American free speech?
Okay, we have a caller who says that he's on the side of the supervisor, Daniel. I'm going to put him up and let you answer him. Will that work for you?
He has free speech rights. I'm anxious.
He has free speech on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Sebastian, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dan, thank you for being Mike's mouthpiece today.
Oh, thank you.
This is the point. I agree with everything that's happening right now, because this is a reflection, Michael. This is the same kind of vitriol and bile that you put out there on the airways every day. You've called.
All right, let's pause right here. Daniel, how does it differ what I say as strongly as I speak against illegal immigrants? How does it differ In the case of a city official trying to have my job and slandering me. Explain it to this man.
Well, he's using the power of the government, his position as supervisor, to try to stir up mob violence, and if it's not violence, certainly a mob protest to take your job away in punishment for your First Amendment exercise of the exercise of your rights.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Can we go back to the rally outside the station? What's going on down there?
This is what you want! This is what you want?
She's telling them what they want? I thought it was a rally of freedom-loving people. Are they through now, or the mic died?
Go again! That's... This is symbolic, not only of the students that Michael Savage told to go starve to death, any of whom were legal residents, were American citizens. We are also demonstrating what happens to our brothers and sisters, to our mothers, to our grandmothers, who die on the border trying to get here. We are here representing and honoring them, and we are here representing and honoring our people, the immigrant community. This is right out of Animal Farm. This hysterical wench is right out of Animal.
Shut her off, please. I don't like hysterics. This is right out of Animal Farm. You know, if you were to watch the cartoon Animal Farm version, I mean, this is, they've created a false straw dog, a man who they hate, saying things I never said, and now they're working themselves up into a froth, and now they're going on to their real agenda, which is illegal immigration, and they're honoring their people again. These are very deceptive people trying to use me as a fulcrum in a podium. They're making me into the bête noir, so to speak, the boogeyman, as it were, the evil boogeyman for standing up to them. Well, they're not going to get anywhere. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to defend the First Amendment, and I'm going to defend everybody else in the media. And I hope they understand that. If they don't, then they don't understand history and what's left of this country. What part of illegal alien don't you get? They are criminals. They stole a free college education, and they're demanding a green card. I say no. You want a hunger strike? Good. Well, you know what I said. If a child says, Daddy, I'm not going to school, and if you make me go to school, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go on a hunger strike. So I say, okay, kid, you don't want to eat. Don't eat till you starve to death, and I walk out of the room. The next thing you know, they're eating a popsicle. You treat them like they are spoiled brats. I'll be back.
Savage.